I count it a great privilege to be in this meeting. I really appreciate it. Certainly need the Lord's help today. I'd like to give the text, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Galatians 6 and 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." I have a picture in my mind of our two little girls in Arkansas, Sarah and Andrea. And Andrea was really crying one day, and of course Lanita and I went running. And what we saw was Sarah carrying her slightly smaller sister because Andrea had a sticker in her foot. And Andrea was so big for her to carry that Sarah had her back arched and Andrea's feet were apart to keep them off the ground. And I thought that was such a good picture of this scripture, "Bear ye one another's burdens." Well, Lanita ran in the house to get the camera, and I remember being frustrated. You know, here's Andrea hurting, she's crying, and you went to get the camera. Well, in years after that, I came to value what she captured that day. She captured a picture of a sister bearing a slightly smaller sister's burden, about more than she could take, helping her during a time of pain, helping her over some of the struggles of life. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Bear ye one another's burdens. The scripture says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. Romans 12 and 15. "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." This is a way that we can help bear other people's burdens. When we see someone's experiencing some pain, that affects us too, because we're all one body. And we care about that person, so we want to help them in their time of pain, in their time of rejoicing. We rejoice with them. We're happy for them, for some good event that has come to pass in their life. And there is something about this. It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You think about that. There is something divine about this law of bearing one another's burdens. If you think about the law of justice, the law of justice says, you didn't bear my burden, and I'm not about to bear yours. It's only fair, right? That's justice. But Jesus came bringing a greater law than that. And that is, you bear someone else's burdens. You look for an opportunity to help somebody that is in need. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38, Jesus taught us this. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Well, that's only just, isn't it? You knock my tooth out, I get to knock your tooth out. The murderer kills somebody, we exercise capital punishment. Their life is taken as well. But there is something divine about being able to transcend above this thing of I'm going to give you whatever you gave me, and to be able to have mercy on somebody and to be able to lift that person up in that person's time of need. "Ye have heard it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil." You see the law of Christ? "But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." And so fulfill the law of Christ. Christ came as a burden bearer. He didn't come as royalty looking for everyone to serve him, but he came bearing our burdens. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. Isaiah 53 and 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs or infirmities, our weaknesses, those areas in life that we simply cannot make it. Jesus came to bear those things for us. Yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. What a burden bearer. The great one that is able to take every weakness that we have, every iniquity that we have ever had in our lives, and to bear that burden for us. It is his law that we be able to do that for other people, that we be able to reach out to them and to help them in their needs in life. In Genesis 4 and 13, God was pronouncing judgment on Cain for his sin. Genesis 4 and 13, "And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear." Did you know that's the way sin is? The consequence of sin is greater than what we can bear. I know that mine was. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle the guilt, the depression, the shame. I couldn't handle the consequence of my sin. But Jesus came to bear that for us. Isn't that a blessing? Cain said, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." But imagine one who came not just to bear Cain's punishment, not just to bear mine, but the sins of the whole world. What a burden bearer. And it is the law of Christ that we be willing to reach out and try to help other people with their burdens as well. In Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10 and verse 25, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Why do you think the lawyer wasn't satisfied to stop right there? He knew the right answer. In fact, lawyers studied the law, so he knew the correct answer. But he still was not satisfied. Perhaps this lawyer realized that he had not been bearing other people's burdens. In fact, Jesus reproved the lawyers. You remember what he told them? He said, "You laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and you yourselves will not lift it with one of your fingers." So perhaps the lawyer realized, I haven't been doing that. I have not been reaching out to help other people with their burdens in life. You notice that it does not say for us to laden other people down with burdens like the lawyers did. They put grievous burdens on other people to be borne. The scripture doesn't tell us to go doing that, go make other people's lives more miserable and more burdened down. But it teaches us to do what we can do to try to relieve the burdens of others. I remember clearly being at the supper table as a young man before I left home. My two older sisters had already left home. And I announced at the supper table, I don't owe the world anything. I could go live in a cabin in Alaska. And there was silence for a little while at the supper table. Then one of my parents let me know, you do owe the world something. You see, all of us really have a debt to society. No man is here for his own selfish life, to just see what he can get out of life, how much he can accumulate, how much pleasure he can experience. But we have an obligation to our fellow man. Not everybody is equally strong. Not everybody has the same talents. You know, there are people that need something that you have. There are some people that need some cheering up. There are some people that are weak in their minds. You know the scripture says to comfort the feeble-minded. Lord, help us to look around and be aware there are some burdens out there. There are some folks that are needing some strengthening. They need some comfort. Is there something I can do to brighten somebody's day? Back to Luke chapter 10. And verse 29, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Whose burden do I really have to bear? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. If anybody should be able to help him, you would think it would be the priest. But the priest passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Well, the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was a dangerous road. And maybe some of the justification was you should have known not to come this way. And with all those treasures that you have or whatever, I don't know what their thought process was. Maybe they thought, I've got to get to feast day on time and I don't want to be late. And maybe somebody else can help this man. But for some reason, these two folks that should have been in a position to help this man passed on. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds. Are there any wounded people in your life? Think about it for a moment. Do you have a neighbor? Do you have a family member? Is there somebody that has experienced a wound that maybe you could help bind up? He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him upon his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. This sounds like going beyond the call of duty. But this man saw somebody with a burden and was willing to reach out and help carry his burden at that part of his life. Now, which of these three, thinkest thou, was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that shewed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise to your neighbor, to the person you meet on the street, to the afflicted, the fatherless, the widow, the sick. Let us go and do likewise. And I want to add to that list to our enemies. Let us go and do likewise. You know, your enemy is really carrying a burden. If your enemy hates you, if your enemy is miserable around you, you know that's a burden. Is there a way to defuse that to a point that it lessens your enemy's burden? Have you ever experienced converting an enemy into becoming a friend? Isn't that a special thing? You know, that lifts their burden, and it lifts your burden as well. So God, help us, that we'll look for burden-lifting opportunities. And when we do that, you know what we're doing? We're fulfilling the law of Christ. The very purpose in His coming, to relieve us of our burden of sin, sorrow, sickness. We are fulfilling His law in our lives when we look around for opportunities to do that to other people. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. I said, I don't owe anybody anything. I could go live in a cabin in Alaska. Wait a minute. I'd be cutting off my opportunity, wouldn't I? To do good unto all men. I can actually produce a positive contribution in society. I can be a blessing to people if I choose to do that. So as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto the people that do good unto us. It says, unto all men. Especially, notice this, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we have an obligation to our fellow man. We also have a greater obligation to the saints. I have drawn up here on the board a picture of a mountain with a mountain climber team. The mountain climber team is connected with a safety rope. In mountain sports, a rope team is a group of mountaineers or climbers who are linked together by a safety rope. The common safety rope helps to protect members of the rope team from falling. However, the team safety rope may also heighten the risk of the entire team to fall as a whole. Because the fall of a single member of the rope team can bring down the entire group. I don't know about you, but I have no interest in getting involved in mountain climbing. But if I did, I would definitely want to be tied in to a safety rope. You know, there are people these days that are involved in extreme sports, and some of it is just insane, in my opinion. There are people that do mountain climbing with no safety gear. Thousands of feet of potential fall. No safety rope. Well, the common safety rope is a protection for the whole team. When a team member falls, he is to cry, "Fall!" or "Falling!" And this puts the rest of the team on alert to immediately assume a fall arrest position. To arrest the fall of a member, the remaining team goes down onto the snow crust, sinking in the ice axes for grip. And then they begin to burrow, each member begins to burrow his feet into the snow crust to create a ledge to stand on, and uses the weight of his legs to hold the weight of that rope with a fallen member on it. Then the team members begin sinking anchors. They pull anchors out of their gear and start sinking anchors into the snow crust and making more tie-offs to secure that rope that is holding the fallen climber. One of the dangers that a mountain climbing team faces is falling into fissures, a crevice. It's a deep hole or crack in the earth or in a glacier. And so one of the risks is somebody can slip off into this deep crack. Well, that's where the safety rope comes into play. If someone falls, there are three major steps to rescuing that person. One is you stop the fall with a fall arrest. Number one. Immediately, you assume the fall arrest position to stop that fall. Secondly, you build an anchor. And the third step is you extract the person that's dangling on the rope. One of the challenges to safety in the mountain climbing is too much slack in the rope. And imagine this. Imagine if you slipped and instead of there being 4 or 5 feet of slack in the rope, there were 30 or 40 feet of slack in the rope. So you fall for 30 or 40 feet and then hit the bottom, hit that rope with a huge impact. What do you think the risk is of bringing the rest of the team down? Too much slack is a risk. I believe that in our relationships with each other, too much slack is a risk. I believe that there is something important about brethren being able to bond together. Being able to know one another. Being able to love one another. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake oft one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. They that feared the Lord spake often one with another. In other words, they were keeping the slack out of the rope of relationship between brethren. Does it ever trouble you if too much time passes and you haven't spent time with the brethren? Is there a longing in your heart? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Do you find it difficult to stay away from camp meeting? You know what it does for us? It helps take the slack out of the rope. And if somebody slips, if somebody is going down because there's a certain amount of tightness there, it helps arrest that fall quicker and reduces the chances that that person is lost. If you hear a cry for help, falling, what do you do? You ever heard that cry? Have you ever seen a brother and thought, the brother needs help? Falling, what do you do when that happens? Let me tell you what you do. Immediately you get prostrate. You get down. You start digging in. You start hanging on to the anchor. You start looking to the Lord on the behalf of the one that has fallen. It's like we heard last night. How much do you value that soul? When you realize that's my loved one dangling there, maybe thousands of feet of free fall underneath, my actions are very important to being able to retrieve them, to be able to stop their destruction. And sometimes people's hearts are crying out, falling. Are we hearing? Are we listening? Do we care? Or do we say, that's just a troublemaker? That's just someone that, I don't know. How much do we value people? Lord, help us. It is a time when we hear falling, when we feel the rope suddenly go taut. It is a time to get prostrate. It's a time to start sinking anchors. It's a time to focus all of our attention on recovery. It's not time to start looking around at the scenery, is it? It's not time to have our earbuds in and be bobbing along to some kind of music, is it? In fact, I believe that we need to have our ears tuned. What was that sound I heard? Was that just the wind, or is that one of my teammates, one of my brethren out there with a cry for help? And God help us not to be so busy in life that we can't respond to a cry, I'm falling. That we have a sensitivity, that we care to be able to secure the rope. Not everybody on the team has equal experience. There's a lead climber. There's someone that goes ahead and is placing anchors. There are people that are strong. There are people that have been up mountains just like this many times before. And then there are the more inexperienced climbers. We need that, don't we? We need people that have some experience, people that have some strength, people that have some determination, that can focus in times of trouble, that know how to help people in times of distress. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, ye which have been climbing a mountain for quite a while, that have been through some near disasters before, that have been involved in other rescues, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Realizing that you are human too. Realizing that someday you might need someone to help rescue you. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. Romans 15 and 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Do you owe anything to anybody? There are people that have infirmities. In fact, all of us do. All of us have weaknesses. All of us have insecurities. There are areas where all of us need some encouragement. Yes. If the Lord has strengthened you, if the Lord has encouraged you, share the blessing with someone else and help lift their burden in life. Why is it that people risk their lives to climb mountains? I don't want to do it, but there are people that do. Why is it? It's conquering, one thing. It's a challenge to see that they can endure, that they have the strength. It's the thrill of adventure, but there is a reward when they get to the top. There is a view that is breathtaking. There is a sense of accomplishment. I have made it. I've conquered. I have won. And so it is in the Christian life. There is a sense of accomplishment. There is a reward for making it all the way to the top. I want to say to you that are climbing that mountain, we're a team. We are brethren. Let us turn to Psalms 119 and 63. Psalms 119 and 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. These are my teammates, these are my brethren, all them that fear the Lord. We're together in this. We are tied together with a safety rope. That rope is brotherly love. Let us turn to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. Colossians 3 and 14, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. A bond is something that binds together. It binds us together. This charity, this love, is the binding force that is our safety rope as we climb this mountain. A bond is illustrated by the ligaments which hold the various members of the body together. Those are bonds. And all of us are members of the same body that are living for the Lord. We're bound together by this perfect bond, this charity. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. First Corinthians 7 and 10, unto the married I command, yet I, but not I, but the Lord. What's this say? There's a commandment here from the Lord. What does it say? It says, let not the wife depart from her husband. You see, on marriage day, there was a bond made. There was a vow made. Don't break that bond. And if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Don't let anyone break that bond made by God. Do whatever it takes. Get prostrate. Sink some anchors in. Put your own life at risk, if that's what it takes, to preserve that bond. Hebrews 13 and 1 says, let brotherly love continue. And I want to ask you, for how long? For how long are we supposed to let brotherly love continue? Peter asked the Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 7 times in a day? Well, to forgive a person one time can be difficult, right? It can be a major challenge. Just one time to forgive one offense can be a real challenge. Well, Lord, 7 times in one day, is that the maximum? Let brotherly love continue. 70 times 7. 70 times 7 in one day. It's beyond human capability, isn't it? That's where this divine law takes into effect. It is a fulfillment of the law of Christ. When we are willing to go beyond, when we are willing to keep forgiving, when we are willing to do whatever it takes to maintain that rope, that safety rope, that rope of love. How long do we let the brotherly love continue? When times are good, when times are bad, when our brother is a trial to us in the congregation, how long? How long should we keep on the safety rope here? When do we just release and say, I'm on my own now, folks? When do we take a knife and cut our brother loose and say, you're a trial to me? Let brotherly love continue all the way until we get up to the peak and we hear those words, well done. We want everyone to make it to heaven, don't we? Lord, help us to be able to help a weak brother, a fallen brother, to realize that somebody I love dangling there at the end of that rope. And if I just take the right actions, I can help restore that person. Now, I want to keep this in balance. There are people that jump off of cliffs committing suicide. Yeah. These are people that have left the rope. It's not the rope team's fault. We shouldn't be blaming the rope team because somebody decides to cut themselves loose and go make the leap. But as long as they're on that rope, Lord, help us to pull for all we're worth. To realize this is a valuable brother. This is somebody that I love. This is somebody I want to see in heaven. That we will value people. That we will look for ways to brighten people's lives. That older person that's lonely, many hours spent by themselves, and we're young and have energy maybe, is there a way we can lift their burden a little bit? You know what one of those type of people really enjoys? Just you coming and spending a little bit of time with them and listening to their stories of what it was like when they were young and showing an interest and asking questions and telling them things that are going on in your life. You know, that helps lift their burden. It can help brighten their whole day because you showed up and spent 15 minutes. Are we able to fulfill the law of Christ? To be able to do this for some folks, that's not that hard, is it? What about our enemy? Can we relieve him of his burden a little bit and help him not to hate us quite so much? By showing a little kindness, by showing some forgiveness, I think we can. God help us. I tell you the scriptures Jesus gave when he said, when someone asks you to give them your coat, give them your cloak also. When they sue you at the law, let them have it. All that, those are some very strong meat scriptures. If you can comply with all that, you're doing very well. Lord, help us to be able to do that because that is a part of the divine law, the fulfillment of the law of Christ, to bear the burdens of others. Amen.